We are more than conquerors. Against us, he's the captain of our faith. Then we will conquer, never fear. So let the battle rage. He has promised to be near until the end of the age. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us so. The Christ who dwells within us is the greatest power we know. Then we will conquer, never fear. So let the battle rage. He has promised to be near unto the end of the age. We are more.
Alan Ward, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Turn over to 593. Dare to Stand. Take your stand with the Son of God. Oh, be faithful to His name. Plant your feet on the Word of God. It shall ever be the same. Stand alone for Christ, claim the bloody sacrifice, with the name of Jesus, press onward to the sky. We are marching toward our goal, all the world before us lies. With our captain we shall endure, till we gain the more,
583. Oh, my God, let's see the signal waving in the sky. Victory is mine.
Okay. Good evening. Let's see here. My computer is not doing what it's supposed to do, so let's figure out what's going on here. Alright. Showing right. Maybe that's what it is. Just needs to be stirred and awakened. Alright. Very good. If you're joining us here in the Sunday evening, haven't been here for a little bit, we've kind of started in on a little series, a 12-week series or lessons on music. And, I'm not doing something right. Okay. All right. Very good. Get myself all worked up. And we've looked at the importance of worship, and that's kind of the framework from which music enters into the church is through the aspect of worship. And so we've seen some really important truths in the last 2 weeks, and now we're going to turn specifically towards looking at music itself. And I don't think this is going to be too long of a lesson, which is all right. We've got a lot going on this evening from what we have here. But as you get a handout, you should see some blanks in there, and that'll help you be able to fill those out. And the first blank that we have here is that we're going to look at that music communicates. And so this is an important notation. We're going to try to prove from the scripture that it does communicate. And the first passage that we're going to go to is in Ephesians chapter 5. So we'll ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we find a verse of scripture that we're very well familiar with in verse 18. It says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." There is a cousin verse with this and a sister epistle of the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3:16, that it gives an admonition in a very similar way. And that's Colossians 3:16, and that is, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And so we're going to look at a little bit here today that music is often included as a part of worship in both in Christian and also non-Christian cultures. And we see that from the scriptures, as we'll look at in just a moment. The aspect here is when we look towards what God has told us in this passage of Scripture, we find that God was commanding the church to sing and make melody in their hearts, to use psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so that's very interesting. A lot of times we've looked at where there's a lot of questions about these words, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What's involved in this? And it's interesting that every single one of these words is actually used in the, so we're reading in the New Testament, so that's in the Greek, and then there's the Hebrew in the Old Testament, but when the Hebrew was translated into the Greek for a lot of the Greek-speaking Jews, because a lot of them had lost their ability to speak and understand and read Hebrew, so they wanted them to have the scripture, so they translated into Greek. Well, these three words are used often and are the most common three words, psalms, hymn, or spiritual songs, or the song aspect, not spiritual there, but the song part is used in the titles for the psalms. And so there seemed to be a lot of overlap with this, and so it's pointing back to the scriptures in these. So we have the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs aspect. And let's see here. I'll get to that in just a moment. Either my slide got out of order or I'm not. I hate that when it happens. So God instructs believers to communicate spiritual truth to one another, teaching and admonishing through music. And so there's an aspect to which we understand that the words are carried along through the music, but God wants us to use music. It's not just enough. God's desire is not just that we can communicate the truth and admonish one another, but he wants us to use song. So there's something added here, something additional to what God is instructing us in. As when we look at this, man, this is kind of crazy. This is really weird. Okay. This is not acting almost as if I somehow sent the wrong wrong version of it to myself. So, frustration. All right, we'll just go forget the PowerPoint and keep moving. I think I've got the blanks, at least that point, and we'll be able to go from that point onward. So I know there's going to be a lot of popping up here, but I'll just try to stick with what we have going on. So I apologize. And so the importance here of communication that God wants from us in terms of being able to admonish and teach one another through hymns and the aspect of communication is that if music itself communicates, there's an aspect where in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 8 through 9, I was going to have that and quote to you, but I'll turn over there because we see that there's an aspect that music is right in a passage in which the Apostle Paul is talking about communication. He references music. So let's turn over there in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, if I pray, let's see. Nope, it's down in verse 6. He says, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? And if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken, for ye speak into the air? And so there's an element in which music has to be put together to make a certain sound, something that can be identified. And so if I come over here to the piano, and I'm going to make some... You know, I haven't made music. I've made sound. I've made noise. And so there's an understanding of if the trumpet doesn't give a certain sound, if it's not clear, if it's not, then it doesn't communicate. So music is something that's pulled together. It's notes that is woven together to communicate something to us. Now you can say it's attaching meaning to a certain sound, like we have with revelry or, you know, with taps. That would be is played, and we know the association that's with that. But I think we can look at it in terms of music itself goes beyond and communicates to our emotions. And that's we're going to talk a little bit about that in terms of the effects that music will bring upon us. So God wants, and he actually commands that and expects that music will be used to help communicate the truth. Now, as we look towards Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, there's a horizontal aspect to this. That means speaking to yourselves. And this is something that we are doing. We're producing a song and a testimony. It's interesting that there is a quote from one of the Romans during the time he was writing his epistles about the early Christians. He's describing them. And he says he was describing their service. And he says every one of them stands up and has a psalm. And a song, a hymn, in which they sing to Christ as unto God. And that was the description of them. So singing in the early church was remarked even from the Romans who witnessed their services, that they participated in this. You know what? And I realize I'm kind of up a creek because I don't have a single note in my thing here. But I realize I'm not, there's some parts of it just up in my mind, but there's others that I will not be able to do. And part of it's the secular scholars that talk about, that believe that music is a communication vehicle. Isaiah, can I take yours? I don't know, does he provide some, I feel bad for that. Give some of these quotes here. We can, one of, I guess, Elena Mann, she's written a book called The Power of Music, and she writes about this and talks about, I can feel the musicians talking to each other in the language of their art. For them, music is a language. It is for us too, because it affects us and changes us. So when we come to the reality, if this is the building block of where we start, do we believe that music is a vehicle of communication? Because if it is a vehicle of communication, then it must be applied and tested on the basis on which we communicate. So the whole issue with music is music moral or is it not moral? Is it all moral? Is it something like, and I would say that you would say, is the letters of the alphabet, are they all moral? You say, well, they don't communicate anything by themselves, but when you put them together and you make words, now you're communicating. And that communication is something that comes out of my heart. And so now words become moral. Are they good or are they evil? What are they communicating and what's coming out of me? I think there's an aspect to which this is identified in this part, even in Ephesians chapter 5, because he talks about spiritual songs. Songs that are inspired and motivated by the Spirit of God, which seems to imply that there would be songs that are not motivated by the Spirit of God and do not come from Him. And so, if music communicates, then we have to understand, is it moral or amoral? Because if it's being created by humans, in terms of we're able to put together things, just like I can take letters and make good words, but I can put together letters and make bad words, and it can reflect the morality of my heart, so I can do the same thing with music as well. And so music, words communicate more in terms of through the intellect. Music targets the emotions in its communication. And so this leads us into the second part here, is that music affects us. And so that's your second blank, music affects. And I think we can give some biblical examples of this, and that is found with David and Saul. In 1 Samuel 16:23, this is a very powerful example of the Bible demonstrating that music affects people. It says there in 1 Samuel 16:23, it says, you have there in notes, as it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. He was able to play skillfully upon the harp, and it soothed him, and he wasn't so grumpy and grouchy. There's an aspect of that part, but I believe this evil spirit is a demonic spirit. And through music, that evil spirit didn't want to be around. He didn't want to be a part of this. And he left him, and Saul was refreshed. And there's a powerful indication that music affects us. The second one, very interestingly enough, is of another example with Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 15. I'll turn there to read that because I want you to see these examples. 2 Kings chapter 3. All right, it's found in verse 15. So they've come, they're seeking a word from the Lord, and Elisha commands and says, "But now bring me a minstrel." It's like a harp there. "And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him." You say, wow, that's interesting. With Elisha there, that Elisha uses music. Is this some sort of gimmick? Is this some sort of means to get the Spirit of God? No. Very clearly the text says, and the hand of the Lord came upon him. God made his choice and God gave him his word, and he begins to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. But music played a role. It's very fascinating there, that it definitely affects even the man of God in terms of, and was an aid to him in hearing the voice of God. And then we have Nebuchadnezzar as a third example, and he's not necessarily a positive example, but he incorporates music into the worship of his image. In Daniel chapter 3, you've got all these wonderful, you can imagine the cacophony of sound just from reading the instruments. The cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music. And so you can imagine the band starting to play up. And they're really getting, I imagine that there was so many instruments that this would have been a large, a loud sound and a large orchestra playing these, and probably was meant to focus upon the grandeur of the awesomeness of there's this massive image that he puts, and he says when he hears this great music and all this sound, everyone's just going to it just eases them into saying, okay, I'm ready to worship this God and fall down. And it's hard to resist that impact and the pull of the music pushing them towards that goal that he has. And so he incorporates it into his music, to the worship that he has. And so we have some examples, not many, but some from Scripture that show that music does affect us. And we also have musicologists, which are those who study music, and even theologians who point to and give evidence of the effects of music. There's several here that have studied this out, and he's pointed towards that there are studies that show that music can affect blood pressure and digestive system, and because it affects the emotions. And he mentions here, the quote says that the effect upon the emotions and desires of man is believed to be vast. Another man puts it in this way. Scheinbaum suggests that music of repetition, groove, evolving texture, and rhythmic interest are seen as dangerous as they supposedly engage the body at the expense of the mind. I don't know exactly what kind of music he's talking about, but here's someone who's studying and saying, you know what, there's a possibility of using music to engage one's body without engaging the mind. And he's emphasizing that here, that definitely music can impact someone positively. It can impact them negatively. They've done some studies at Yale where people have been on pain medication, and when they had access to their favorite music, they ended up using the pain medication a whole lot less. So it soothed them. It impacted them. And John MacArthur makes a note that the notes, the chords, the phrases of music have a purpose. They communicate joy and sadness, strife, and whatever the composer, so there's an aspect of the song that we sang, hold the fort, for I am coming. You know, if there's an aspect, I don't know exactly what note that, see if I can find it. Okay, here it is. So if I'm playing this for you, you know, the first stanza is, oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Then you're going to talk about in the second stanza, the mighty host of Satan advancing. And so you can change it.
The mighty host advancing, Satan wasting on.
And so you just take the song, and I have it changed a few of the notes of the melody, but you incorporate some different chords, and now you've added some coloring that communicates in a different way suited towards those words. That you can change the music ever so slightly. Even it's amazing, most of the time it's just changing one note in that chord and in that harmony, and it has an impact. And there's an aspect to which we can go through science and those type of things, and I think that's worthy, but the reality is that I know that this is true with my children. We were putting together some music for our camp, and I was trying to come up with some. We're in a jungle safari, or African safari. So I was thinking, well, maybe we can find some Aborigine music or some jungle music type thing. And so we're finding some of the songs, and they're like boom, 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 boom. You know, you're hearing all kinds of different things. And so we're trying to check this music out. Well, we had little Elisha there, and he's starting to go. He doesn't know anything whatsoever, and yet he's starting to move and making music. And if I were to sit down and at the piano and it's 9:30 and we're going to about 8:30 send the kids to bed, and I start playing a Sousa march, you know, in terms of, you know, and get them all excited, dun 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 dun, man, they're all running around, they're having a good old time until they're like, I might wear them out, but that doesn't really soothe them. It affects them. What kind of music? And I can start playing something that get them riled up. And it's actually kind of fun to, as a musician, to try to experiment with music to find out what causes them to act certain ways. Or you can play, every culture has some aspect of a lullaby, something that mothers learn how to use, to use music to affect and to have an impact upon children, so that they might go to sleep. I'm sure there's an aspect, maybe some of you use music to help you study. Some of you use music to help you go to sleep and prepare you. There's an aspect. Some of you use music to wake you up. but it has an impact. It affects us. And so we have to acknowledge from the very beginning that music communicates. That's part of the nature. And if music communicates, that's leading us on a path towards identifying the morality of music. And if you have something, you say, oh, this is a person over here who has created this music. You have to say, okay, what is it communicating, and what is pouring forth from their heart that they want to communicate to the world? And oftentimes you'll find that musicians have a message. They have a communication that they want to communicate, not just with the words, but with the sound that they create. And so I know this is kind of this is really crazy. There's a lot of things happening up here. My time is not right. Anyway, I don't know what's going on up here. This is a crazy thing. So I'll give you some short, simple questions here. Does the Bible give indication of the use of music in corporate worship for the church? At least three occurrences, yes. And the two main ones that give us commands, do you know what books they're in? Ephesians and Colossians. Good, good. So you've got a good focus upon that. All right. What is the biblical support that music communicates? What? David and Saul. Okay. That's kind of pointing more into the aspect of the effect that it has, though effect and communication are going hand in hand, so that's not a wrong answer. Two aspects here. This is good, and this may point to the aspect that either I'm not clear or the question's not clear, but it's the aspect that God requires that we are to teach and admonish one another through music. So there's an aspect of He expects this to be a vehicle of communication, and then also the fact of the trumpet giving a certain sound indicates that music communicates. And is there secular support for this? Are there those that just study music, do they agree with that aspect? And the answer is yes, they do. And the third one, what is the biblical support that music affects us? David and Saul. So, yep, that's a really good one. Nebuchadnezzar, yep, he wanted to, there's a reason why he used music for his worship, call to worship. Elisha, that's right. And I think that's maybe one of the most fascinating ones of the group, that God uses music, and so that doesn't make music illegitimate. And yet there is the warning that we find even from the secularists that say, you know what? The music can impact the body. It can impact you physically, and bypass your mind in terms of it's a communicating more with the emotional side and the physical side more so than with the mind. And so that becomes a real danger. In fact, when you read about church history, and we're going to dive into that a little bit, we're going to look through the history of the music controversies, and you may be surprised at how far back they go, even to the early church. And there was aspect of early fathers saying, you know what, I'm concerned about this music in our worship. that this has been a present danger that we can get sidetracked and become focused on music and what it communicates and bypassing what the Lord wants for us to have. So this is kind of laying the foundation. We're going to continue to build on these in the future lessons that we have upcoming. So this is going to be short and sweet, but we're going to have about a... let's see here, about probably 5 minutes, and that'll give a chance to use the restroom, and then we'll go ahead and have a time of for our business meeting this evening, and we'll look forward to that. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have given us this beautiful tool of music to use in your worship, to communicate one to another, and yet also to communicate to you, to make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And so, Father, I pray that we would rejoice in you, and that we would use the music and the instruments that you have given to us to express that joy and our contentment in you. Father, may we be discerning and discern where Satan may come in and try to take that which is good and use it for evil. And we pray that you would just protect our church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. And that's so confusing. Thank you.